We're back with More Than Money on QR Calgary. We just spoke about finding friendship as we age, but now we can talk about living at home longer. More and more Canadians, at least from the data that we're seeing, are choosing to age in place than going into a home, especially after the issues that happened during the pandemic with COVID and so forth, and what happened in some of these facilities. So this is a timely piece. This is a timely report. I had no idea prior to about a few weeks ago that there was an expert panel on aging at home. Mm-hmm. And so let's go to the top person in charge of this, the chair expert, and she's the chair expert panel on aging at home, Nora Spinks. Nora, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
Okay, so Canadians are living longer. Our healthcare system is being dragged into a new phase, I call it, given the amount of care that seniors need. Let's call it that the system is also stressed. Give us a bit of an idea of what Supporting Canadians Aging at Home report is and why is it important for that?
So the federal ministers of health and the minister of seniors got together and decided to put together this panel to explore and examine all the different ways that the federal government could assist people to age in place, age at home. So those are some of the language that's used across the country. And basically what it means is avoiding having to move into assisted living or a long-term care facility until you absolutely have to. And many people end up going prematurely because they lack some pretty basic supports in order to remain in their own home.
What would you say are some of the supports that they're lacking?
Well, they basically fall into three categories, roughly. There's the finances, there's the physical space, any modifications that might be required, and then there's the personal care. So the kinds of things that you might need help with. So the finances might be just affordability day to day, or it may be like a one-time expense, like putting in some grab bars or, putting in a raised toilet or, some basic modification, a ramp maybe even. And then there's the sort of personal care. So getting help and the cost of care is quite expensive. So the finances associated with that personal care. And then there's maintaining the home. So that's the third pillar is how do you keep it clean? How do you keep it safe? How do you do minor repairs? If you live in a home that has an outdoors, how do you take care of the yard or shovel the snow? So those are some of the things that we really need to think very carefully about. And then once you're out of the home, access to transportation is huge, and the lack of access to transportation, whether it's public transportation or some other kinds of assisted transportation, becomes extremely challenging and often, as a result, forces people into a long-term care facility before they actually need the kind of care that's available there.
Nora, so I noticed from, your report about ensuring quality, I noticed those words, right? And some of your recommendations to the government on how to do that. So how much government involvement do you guys want? And maybe what are some of those recommendations that you're putting forward?
Well, there's a couple of things. So from a financial perspective, we're looking for an age at home benefit, which is based loosely around the current Canada Child Benefit that you would receive on a monthly basis. Another one is the establishment of a publicly operated long-term care insurance, which is becoming very popular in the EU and other countries around the world. And then the third is sort of tweaking the existing programs and services. So we have something called the Guaranteed Income Supplement. We just need to increase that a little bit to recognize the increased costs that people are incurring in order to stay at home. So we're also looking at recommending services and supports in the community that do exist may need a little bit more funding in order to expand their reach or their increase the accessibility or increase the affordability of their services and supports as the number of people who are aging in place increases year over year.
Nora, there's going to be a lot of conversation about this as our population ages. And unfortunately, last week on the show, I talked about this is not the number one topic that politicians talk about as they get into an election. Unfortunately, they have not put the healthcare system and aging the population and what they need as the top two things that come up in any election. So it doesn't get the priority or the respect it deserves given the situation. But when we get reports like this, here is one of the biggest complaints that we hear. We're asking for more money from the government. We want more taxpayers to pay more money for these programs, which is going to be a problem to get approved, generally speaking. So for those people who are cynical, for those people who are saying, hey, this is going to be grabbing into my pockets to pay for people who can actually afford for themselves because they have a home, they have equity, they have assets, but they may not have income. So how can we use programs like that when we don't have to really go after the tax base? So what do you say to those people who are critiquing this type of a concept?
Well, the first thing to recognize is that we're all getting older one day at a time, and that's a gift. The population aging is an outcome of our increased longevity due to better healthcare, better nutrition, better knowledge and understanding of the importance of exercise, etc. So that's a good news story. The flip side of that is that we're not yet ready or prepared for some of the reality of living longer than expected. So if you think about the baby boomers who are now turning 75 at a rate of one every 7 seconds in North America, when they were born, life expectancy for men was only 63. So you can't really fault them for not necessarily saving enough over their lifetime to care for themselves in their own home on their own. Having said that, we're all in this together. So it's individuals, it's extended family, it's neighbors, it's municipal government, provincial and federal government are all interconnected into making sure people have the resources and support they need. For sure, those who have the financial means, the equity, the assets, they can purchase services. But even if you have money, if there's nothing to purchase, that money's not necessarily of the same kind of value as if there are programs and services you can purchase. So those who are middle income and higher income earners, I would get phone calls from people saying, okay, mom's being discharged from hospital. We need home support. Where do we go? Where do we shop for that? And it's like, well, there's a 2-year wait list and you're only going to get a day or two a month, or you can bring in somebody from overseas and one of the caregiving initiatives that allow you to bring in care from outside the country. But that can sometimes take up to 3 years. Mom's being discharged in 3 hours. So, you know, money helps for sure, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to have the kinds of supports that you require. So it's going to take an all community, all government approach to make sure that people aren't lonely, people don't get sick, people don't get more depressed or more socially isolated, because that will cost us as taxpayers regardless. They're going to end up in emergency, they're going to end up in hospital and not be able to be discharged back home. And so we're going to be paying tens of thousands of dollars a day instead of a few hundred dollars a week in order to support someone.
And I think that's the one piece that the public doesn't understand, the cost it is to carry that patient through the system that we have today versus the alternatives that you've put into the panel and into the report. It's a 48-page report. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's thinking it's light, it's not. There's a lot of information, detail. They've gone through a lot of stuff. Our frustration is that these types of reports get sent up to the politicians, and then it just sits on the desk waiting for the next election. And then another panel gets put together and it doesn't get solved. We've been doing this show for over 15 years, and we've been complaining about these issues for over 15 years. So I'm glad that there's people on the side looking at a solution. So thank you so much for joining us, Nora. We really appreciate your attention to this as well.
Always a pleasure. You have a great day.
We've been joined by Nora Spinks, chair expert panel on aging at home. Rob, there is a seminar coming up that we can talk about how to financially help yourself through situations like this. When is it?
You got it. Join us at our next seminar, Tuesday, September 10th, 7 p.m. in person at the Carriage House Inn. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
Supporting your family members requires you to have not only finances, but confidence and the freedom to be yourself as well. How can you do this? Join us after the break. We'll tell you. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.